Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Welcome into the Arrowhead Attic Podcast. It is Thursday. When the hell is the date? It's April 11th. Patrick Allen here with you as always. And great news, we're getting the band back together. Joining me is my old pal, Sports Illustrated's Matt Verderam. He's still Sports Illustrated's Matt Verderam, but he is now back in the Minute Media fan-sided family. And so he's going to be joining us a little bit more regularly than he used to. And that's good news. Well, good news or bad news, depending on which side of the fence you sit on. How you doing, man?
I'm good. It's definitely going to be bad news for some people, but that's their problem. So I am back. I'm glad to be. Sports Illustrated is now under the Minute Media tent, which is a wonderful thing for everyone involved. At least I certainly feel that way. So, yeah, I'll be back. I'll be back plenty to annoy the crap out of everyone. It'll be good.
Shout out to Jeremy, who says, yeah, Matt and birthday, Pat man. Show, great birthday present. Happy birthday, my man. Jeremy, longtime supporter of the show, Arrowhead Act member, our pal. Happy birthday. Okay, so we're going to have a little bit of a quicker show today because Verderam's got a prior engagement, so wanted to take the opportunity to get him in here. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to talk Rashee Rice really quickly, and then we're going to break down. I just thought it would be fun to kind of go through the Chiefs list of opponents. The schedule will be coming after the draft. Then we'll do all this stuff again. But I thought it'd be interesting to do like a way too early. Do you think the Chiefs are going to win and lose this game? We don't need to break down everything because we know these teams are going to change quite a bit between then and now. But after free agency, heading into the draft, I think it'll be a fun thing to check in on. Before we do that, though, we got to let you know that if you haven't downloaded the FanDuel app yet, you will definitely want to take advantage of this offer. New users who sign up through our link must deposit $10 and place a first wager of $5 on any live bet. Once your first bet settles, you will receive $150 in bonus bets, even if you lose. This offer is only available if you sign up through our link, bit.ly/arrowhead150. You can find that link in the description below our stream as well, or you can scan the QR code on the screen to start signing up if you're watching live on YouTube. Again, that is bit.ly/arrow150. Offers only available to new customers who are 21 and older and physically present in a legal gambling state. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Check out the episode description for the link and full terms of the offer. All right, Verderam. So Rashee Rice, you and I talked about this on your podcast, the Matt Verderam Show, last week. He has now been charged, and I'm going to go ahead and just really quickly read the charges. So this is a tweet from Ari Merov. In total, Rashee Rice faces 8 charges in the case, 6 counts of collision involving bodily injury, 1 count of collision involving serious bodily injury, 1 count of aggravated assault, and then he faces the 6 counts. They hit all these other cars. So somebody in the comments of that said, why isn't he getting charged with hit and run, which is what happened here. Somebody else responded, and I don't know if this is true or not, and maybe you can tell me if you've heard this. He said that it's included in the Texas state statute for accidents causing serious bodily injury. It's a 3rd-degree felony in Texas. There's a warrant out for his arrest, which is not ideal if you're a Chiefs fan or Rashee Rice. And he was supposed to turn himself in supposedly yesterday. What do you make of all this, man?
That I'm not a lawyer, but it's not great.
Yeah.
I guess from my very, very limited understanding is in a situation like this, like a warrant's pretty standard. Like this is not, it sounds horrible, but like, I think that's pretty standard in this situation. Look, all of these charges again, to my limited knowledge, they're all felonies, like second and third degree felonies. My expectation, just being a United States citizen who has seen a million different things like this play out, is it's probably going to be a plea deal at some point. That's probably where this is headed. Most of the time, these things don't go all the way through a court and a trial. And I mean, it's just the legal system. People would be waiting 30 years to hear their cases. So that's not just for rich people and famous people. That's everyday people. I would expect that he's going to plea out. The question is, what does that plea deal look like? I would imagine the goal for Rashee Rice is going to be to plead guilty to some misdemeanors and probably look at a fine, maybe some, you know, some kind of community service, avoid jail time. I mean, that's, I think, now, look, the other part of this is, and I think this is important, like, how much contrition does he show? How much remorse does he show? Because at the end of the day, everybody is a human being. And if this guy stands there in front of the DA and says, look, I really screwed up. I know I really screwed up. And I am committed to making this as right as I can possibly make it. I think that goes a hell of a lot further than, hey, man, I want to plea and I got to get out of here. Like, I think as a human being, you are more likely to work with the former than the latter. The other part of this is, to my understanding, he doesn't have a criminal history that involves anything significant, if at all. That helps. If he had a laundry list of indiscretions, obviously, I think your tendencies come down a little bit harder if you're a district attorney. But yeah, look, this isn't good. He's going to get suspended. I mean, that's coming. The only question is how many games does he get suspended for? But right now, that should be the least of his problems, or at least the least of his concerns. He's got to avoid jail. Which I imagine would be the first priority of any plea that he signs.
Yeah, and look, this is pretty open and shut. If you're the DA in this case, I mean, it's on video. You know, it's on video. There, you got video of him walking away. They probably have other videos we haven't seen, highway surveillance, all that other stuff. So these are very serious charges. It's a huge embarrassment to the Chiefs, to the NFL, to Rashee Rice. Like, yeah, they issue a warrant because you're under arrest and they have to do that in case you don't turn yourself in. It's not like there's a manhunt going on for him.
Right,
but like,
right.
He's getting arrested. He's got to go in. He's got to get his mugshot taken. He's got to get fingerprinted, all that stuff, right? And look, I think you're right. I think, you know, there's no reason, like, look, these DAs and everybody, the judges, there's no reason for them not to put all the charges down. That's their job. But at the end of the day, a lot of times you see in these cases, depends on the judge, depends on the DA,
yep,
all that thing, all those things. In general, I think the idea of the justice system is not just to punish, but to hold people accountable and, you know, levy consequences if they run afoul of the law and break up the order we try to have in society. And Rashee is very lucky, and the other guys are lucky in this case, that nobody was killed. In which case, this would be a whole different scenario. So, you know,
I'd be going to prison.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, be over. Yeah.
With him walking away, them all walking away, I imagine a judge is going to be pretty ticked off about that they didn't stay at the scene, especially if they suspect the other things were going on. There was reasons that they left, but it's about what they can prove. They'll be fortunate if they can plead out and avoid jail time. And then again, what we said on your podcast, any punishment that he gets from the NFL, or really any punishment he gets from the law, he's gotten off easy because he's not looking at, you know, life in prison for killing somebody.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. And they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
A few other quick thoughts on this. One, to your point, like, look, one thing I noticed that were not in these charges were anything revolving around guns, drugs, or alcohol, which is significant for obvious reasons. Doesn't mean that maybe some stuff wasn't involved, but you can't prove that it was. And so there's that. The other thing I will say, and this has nothing to do with the legalities of this, I really hope that he realizes that what he did was unbelievably dumb. And like, look, I'll be the first one to sit here and say, I wasn't perfect as a kid. I did dumb stuff. I'm really lucky some things didn't turn out worse than they were. But that doesn't give people, in my opinion, the right to sit there and go, well, he's a kid. Well, just because I was a kid and I did dumb stuff, I was still dumb. Like, that's not an excuse. And he's not a kid. He's a young man. He's an adult. Just like every other 20-some-odd-year-old person in this country is. Like, or in the world is, for that matter. He ought to know better than doing what he did on a Saturday night in a metro area at 6:30. I mean, it wasn't, it's not great anytime. It's not 3 a.m. and there's nobody on the road. Like, there's people everywhere. What are you doing? So to butt up against that point, I also don't really have any time for any Chiefs fan who's like, you know, if he gets suspended 8 games, well, the penalty's too harsh. Hey, man, he acted like a dope. He's really unbelievably fortunate he still has his life, that everyone else still has their life. Like, I don't care what he gets suspended for. Be thankful that nobody got killed. Be thankful from a football perspective that in all likelihood he's going to play again and go forward. That's what I would say. Because this could have easily been something where lives were changed and you go, you know, way beyond what you're looking at right now.
Yeah, man. And hopefully it leads to better decision-making for Rasheed in the future. Like we said, we've all made mistakes, but our job is to sit here and talk about what goes on with the Chiefs. And so our opinions on the matter doesn't mean we're perfect, but our opinions on the matter are our opinions. And he's been handed a winning lottery ticket in life, in this part of his life at least. And I hope that he doesn't light that on fire, because he almost did. And, you know, you're right. He has a chance to stand in front of the judge. I say, I'm going to, and he's already, his lawyer put out a statement. She's going to make this right. Like, they're already starting to like, yeah, man, he should be paying for everything, taking care of everything.
Yes.
Doing community service, going to talking to kids and being like, hey, I'm an idiot. Don't be me. Like, whatever he needs to do to make this situation something that could have been tragic, that turned out to be really, really unfortunate. There's an opportunity. I'm really into, stoicism and stoic philosophy. And a big tenet of stoic philosophy is like, you know, you can't control what happens to you, but you can be prepared and you can control how you respond to it. Well, this is a situation where Rasheed Rice could have had control over what happened to him. But another part of it is that it has happened. So what's he going to do now?
Correct.
Like, he can't go back and undo what he did, but he can do potentially good in the future because of this. And let's hope that that's the road he goes down.
Well, and lastly, look, lastly for me, I think, that's well put. I would also say too, like, there are times when people really screw up and it ends up being something that I don't want to say is a positive, because there are victims in the wake in some cases, but that something good at least comes out of it. Now, I'm not equating the two situations at all, to be clear, but like Michael Vick, okay. Michael Vick had a dog ring, right?
Yeah.
A bunch of dogs brutally killed. Michael Vick, since coming out of Leavenworth, has spent a large chunk of his life dedicated to speaking to people and working with these communities to make sure that people don't go down the same path. Like, that's not bringing those dogs back. That's not making their pain any less. I get all that. But at least the man walked away from it changed, genuinely changed, trying to do good, trying to do better. I would hope that Rasheed Rice has enough self-awareness to go, you know what, man? I got really lucky. I got really lucky. And I am now going to try to prevent those types of things from happening by talking to people about those other things, about being involved in some different communities. I think that is of paramount importance. And if that happens, then thankfully, because nobody was seriously injured here, this could be a positive. This could be something where maybe other future actions, not just from Rasheed, but other people, don't happen. They never happen because he helped to mitigate him. So let's hope that that's the way this all plays out.
Yeah, man. And we live in a world today where people want nothing more than to pull people down, or they wait for people to mess up, to fail, and then they right. celebrate it. And it can be a miserable existence sometimes. I don't want to live in a world or raise my son in a world where everybody's just so miserable and nobody, you step out of line, you make one mistake because you're a human being, and that's it for you for the rest of your life. I believe in second chances. Sometimes you don't get a second chance at everything, but at least a chance to redeem yourself and do some good and put yourself back in some good standing with the rest of us. And so I hope that is what happens with Rasheed. All right, let's get into these predictions. So we're going to look at the games on the Chiefs schedule. So a lot of you know that, like, the NFL schedule is pretty much like who you're going to play is pretty much decided with just a handful of games.
Right.
It used to just be two games that you didn't know who the opponents were going to be, right? Before they added the extra game, it was just you rotated each of the divisions, and you had a division you were going to play in the NFC, and your schedule and everybody else in your division schedule were exactly the same. And then when you hear the term first place schedule, that usually just meant whatever AFC divisions you weren't playing that year, you played the corresponding team that finished in the same spot that you did last year. So if you finished yep. in first place, you played the two first place teams from the division that you weren't scheduled to play, and those were your extra games. And sometimes that meant you were playing really good teams, and sometimes those teams went the shit and you got lucky and it was an easy game. Now they added a game, and so you play one of the NFC divisions corresponding. So there's three games that otherwise you could go through, and I could tell you who the Chiefs are going to play next year with the exception of three games. I got all that right, right? That's a good explanation of that?
Yes. I we know all 17 of their opponents. Well, you know, all 17 games at this point, but yes, you nailed it. Yeah.
No, but I mean in 2 years from now, like I could go to 20,
oh, yeah, 27 yeah, yes,
and
yes,
tell you who
yes,
they're going to
yes,
play.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, with the exception of three games. So sometimes right. when you say, oh, it's the first place schedule is so hard, it does make it harder in theory, but in practice, it's only three games. So if those two teams, you know, like you played we played the Patriots the year after Tom Brady left, and they weren't good anymore, right? But they had been in first place. So you never know what's going to happen. So let's dive in. We know who the Chiefs are going to play. We don't know the order. And you just tell me, Verderam, if you think the Chiefs are going to win these games or lose them. So we'll start with the division and let me know win home and away for both of them. The Denver Broncos, 8-9 last year. I feel like that last year was like a formality year for them. Like Peyton had to come in. They had to give it one go with Russell Wilson because of the contract and stuff. So now I feel like they're in the rebuild. The rebuild has begun. How do you think these two shake out for the Chiefs home and away?
I think Denver's the worst team in the NFL. I think the worst team in football. I think the Chiefs are going to plow them twice. I mean, Denver, who the hell is playing for that team? Like, Sertan's great. Simmons is gone. Joel's gone. Christian Berry's gone. Judy's gone. Like, say whatever you want about Russell Wilson. Very Jared Stidhamese. Like, right. They're brutal, man. Like, I think the Chiefs are going to have a game against Denver where they absolutely sleepwalk and it's like tied at halftime and they score 28 points in the second half. I think they win the games. I think even if the Chiefs are half awake, I think they're going to win both those games.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. I think it's complete and total rebuild. And as long as the Chiefs aren't going through, I still think Peyton's a good coach. Like, as long as the Chiefs aren't going through any like terrible stretches like they were last year where nobody could catch the ball, they should win both of these games. Even if they are, I mean, it'd have to get really bad. I think.
Yes, they would have to be actively betting on Denver.
Now let's talk about a really interesting team here now, which is the Los Angeles Chargers. 5-12 last year, obviously the injury to Herbert. They're a team in transition, but you bring in Harbaugh, who's won everywhere he's ever coached. Yep. And it's not the same situation as Denver. They are in a bit of a soft rebuild here. A lot of their offensive weapons, they kept some of their defensive guys, but got rid of some of their offensive weapons. Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, gone. But they do have Herbert and they have Harbaugh. Tougher challenge for the Chiefs home and away here?
They're weird because roster-wise, they're worse, like easily worse. They lost Eckler. They lost Allen. They lost Williams. Mack, I know, had like 17 sacks last year. Let's be real. Like, what are the odds of that happening again at this age? And Bosa plays like five games every year. So I don't know what to make of him. And the rest of that defense is brutal outside of Derwin James and to some extent Asante Samuel Jr. Offensively, who the hell's making plays? Like Gus Edwards? I don't know. I mean, obviously not. Now, look, that being said, they had the fifth pick in the draft. They might take Marvin Harrison Jr. I'll say, I definitely think the Chiefs went at home. I'll say they sweep them, man. Like, even on the road, like, there's a home game anyway. I don't know. Like, I think the Chargers will be better in 2025. I think that's when they will be more. Now, that being said, if you look at the Chargers' schedule, you can make a real case they're like a borderline playoff team because they have a last place schedule. They play nobody. But that being said, yeah, I mean, look, I've seen Herbert with more talent around them and they can't win anything. And now they have a ton of like deficiencies. I think even with Harbaugh, I think it will get them turned around. I just think next year is kind of like a year in transition.
Yeah, I think, look, I think the Chiefs are going to go 1-1 in this one. I just think that, look, I'm an Ohio State fan. I saw he was able to get in there, not right away, but college is a little bit different than the NFL, and turn Michigan around. Ohio State had been whooping them year after year after year. And one thing that I really appreciate about Harbaugh as a coach is he doesn't care about winning pretty. He'll win ugly. He doesn't care. And he'll change his game. But whatever he's got to do to win the game, he'll find the team he's playing. He'll find their weakness and he'll run the ball. So like if the Chiefs are bad at stopping the run next year, Harbaugh will run it 50 times. Like Belichick would do that kind of thing too. Like he didn't give a shit. He just wanted to win the game. So I could see a scenario where early in the season, Harbaugh finds a weakness for the Chiefs that they're not ready for yet. And he just picks at it. And because of the Herbert factor, I think maybe they sneak one in here. That's where I stand now. We'll see once the rosters are set.
Well, so I'll say this for Harbaugh. He took over a Niners team in 2011 that was atrocious. I mean, and by atrocious, I mean, these are the records preceding him. 7-9, 2-14, 4-12, 7-9, 5-11, 7-9, 8-8, 6-10. And he immediately went 13-3 and lost in overtime in the NFC title game. So he knows what he's doing. I just think with this specific roster, like even if they draft Harrison, it's like, look, man, like take him away. And it's just, I don't know. I could definitely see a split, but I'll say the Chiefs won them both. Although if they play in week 18, maybe the game means nothing, you know? So, but I'll say they won them both.
I hope you're right and I'm wrong on that one. All right. The Las Vegas Raiders showed some fight last year. Looked especially good when the Chiefs decided to lay down and die on Christmas Day.
It was great.
8-9 last year. I don't think they're going to be good. I respect Antonio Pierce and what he did last year and the way he got that locker room to respond. I just feel like this isn't a very good football team. They've got some good players. I just don't think they're very good, and I think it's going to be like a Romeo Crennel situation. We see this all the time. When the situation is really bad, like it was with Josh McDaniels.
Anybody supporting this.
Right? With Todd Haley. Like, it's like, maybe like it was where you were working at a company and you had completely batshit ownership and you didn't know what was going to happen. And then you got a big weight lifted off your shoulders, right? It could be something.
Wouldn't know about that.
Yeah, you wouldn't know anything about that. But it's, you know, some people out there.
But it's possible. People are saying.
Yeah, people are saying. So I think that's what happened last year. And good on Antonio Pierce for getting them to go. But now it's a whole different ball game. And I just don't think they're going to be very good. I think the Chiefs sweep.
I will say this is the most confident I am in any prediction. The Chiefs are going to plow them twice. Why? Because Antonio Pierce decided to go on Max Crosby's podcast and say a whole lot of things about Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Who, typically speaking, takes those things really personally.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and say that the Chiefs absolutely baptized them twice.
Yeah.
They lost Jacobs. They didn't add anybody outside of Christian Wilkins of note. I just look at the Raiders and it's like, okay, offensively, if you take away Adams, they have nothing. That team, like Jacoby Myers, who cares? They have no quarterback. Defensively, it's Max Crosby. It's Christian Wilkins is a very good player. And who else? Nobody. The Chiefs did everything imaginable to suck last year against the division and still went 4-2. And the division's worse. Like, I don't know how you, like, to me, what is the argument that the Raiders, the Broncos, or the Chargers got better? I mean, the Chargers, the only argument's Harbaugh. That, right? That's like, he's such an upgrade over Staley that he's, okay, fine. Like, he's the answer to that question. Their roster's not better. Denver's roster's not better. Denver's considerably worse. The Raiders are worse. So, like, what is the argument to me for those teams? I think even if the Chiefs are a little beat up, if they're maybe sleepwalking, well, I still think 5-1 to me is the worst case scenario of that division. And I think they could very well go 6-0.
Let's hope so. All right. So we're going to go through the rest of the games. I'm just going to read you the Chiefs' remaining opponents, obviously outside of the division, because I actually think it's a pretty tough schedule. They always have one. The Chiefs have at home, the remaining home games, Baltimore, Cincinnati, the Texans, the Saints, the Buccaneers. Yep. I mean, all of those teams had winning records last year. And then on the road, you got the division games, and they've got Atlanta, Buffalo, the Panthers, the Browns, the Steelers, and the 49ers. So tough home slate, pretty favorable road slate for the Chiefs. Couple tough games in there, but let's go through the rest of these home games and start with the defending AFC North champions, Baltimore Ravens, were 13-4 last year. And of course, the Chiefs beat them in the championship game last year.
So this is always tough, the Chiefs, because whenever you read off the schedule and you're like, should they win this game? You're like, yeah, they probably should win every game they play because they're incredible. They're going to lose some games. Like, they just are, right? I mean, unless they're setting an all-time record with historical success. I'll say that Baltimore, I just want to think about this, because they play, as you mentioned, Baltimore and Cincinnati. Baltimore lost. Like, you know, I mean, I'll say Baltimore finds a way to win the game. Like, I think they're, let me put it this way. I think they will split with Baltimore and Cincinnati. That's why, not to jump ahead here, but I think they'll split those games. I think one of those games, they'll win. One of them, they'll lose. I just think they're going to be more keyed up for Cincinnati. Like, that game will mean more to them. I think Cincinnati's actually the better team with Burrow healthy. Yeah. But I think the Chiefs will be more up for the game. Now, that could all change. If this is a primetime game against the Ravens and the Bengals are a Sunday game, then maybe that changes. But I'll say they split those two games. I think they'll just have them.
Yeah, out in the chat, Joshua Clayton thinks that the Chiefs lose to the Ravens. Phantom thinks they win. KCDC, no, the schedule's not out. We know the opponents, so we're just having a little pre-draft fun here. I'm with you. I think they lose. It's just the Chiefs always – I'm not saying they're going to lose to every good team they play, but I do think they hold a little bit back when they play these AFC opponents. I'm not saying they don't try to win the game. They know how important it is to win. They want to get that bye.
Yep. Right.
But not only do they hold a few things back, they learn some things about those teams. And I think because the Chiefs have the coaching advantage pretty much in every game that they play, when it comes playoff time, they're like, okay, we know what to do now. And the other teams aren't able to adjust to the Chiefs' adjustment from the regular season. So I actually think it's a great benefit for the Chiefs, more so than other teams, that they have to play such a hard schedule and often play their playoff opponents during the regular season.
Yeah, no, I agree. We've just seen this so many years with them where, they lose a game and it's like, oh God, how could they lose that game? That's frustrating. And then they see that team in the playoffs and they just roll them. And it's because, like you said, they do. I for years didn't buy into that. I started buying into that when they won their second Super Bowl and they played the Bengals in Cincinnati, and Spagnuolo did nothing the entire game. Nothing. Didn't make one adjustment the entire game. Then they got to the playoffs and played a completely different style of football. And Burrow had no idea what to do with it. Like, I think of those two games, I think they win one, lose one. You know, something they could certainly win. They're going to be favored in probably every game they play. But I would say, split them.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they'll lose to the Ravens. I actually think they might get the Bengals. I just don't know about Burrow's health, man. I mean, at this point, you have to start asking the question. Freak things happen to guys, but he has been unavailable a lot. He's dealt with a lot of injuries. Is he even going to be on the field? You just don't know. It's unfortunately an issue for him.
Right. No, it's fair. I mean, he had the torn ACL as a rookie, and then he came into last season with the ankle, and he played, but he was awful. And then he finally got healthy, and then he hurt, his elbow. That was it?
Yeah, that was a freak thing. Always scary. I think it's the same injury that Purdy got, right? Where he was...
Purdy tore his UCL, and Burrow... Yeah, Burrow's injury was very bizarre. It's very weird. It's like he got hurt on the hip by Clowney, and then he threw and he couldn't throw. And it was not good. It was not a good thing.
All right, let's go to the Houston Texans. 10-7 last year. A little bit of a surprise with a rookie quarterback. They made some big moves in the offseason. A lot of people think they're this year's Lions. They're the team that was bad that surprised everybody last year. They're going to be a popular pick. How do you think this one turns out for KC?
I think they're going to win this game. First of all, I think this is going to be the first game of the year. I think this is going to be the first game of the season. I think they will win. I think they will find a way to get the job done. Maisie's making an appearance over my shoulder. I think they win. The Texans are really good. Like, I'm not a denier. I think the Texans are good. I think they're the best team in the South. I think they're going to be a challenge. I also think if this is the opener, this is going to be one of these things where it's like, welcome to primetime. I know they played in playoff games. There was no pressure. Zero. If they lost to Cleveland, okay, you had a great year. They beat Cleveland at home. They lost to Baltimore. Everyone expected them to lose anyway. And I also think the Chiefs are going to try to send a message in that game. Like, you're good and you're here and that's fine, but you're not us. I think the Chiefs will beat Houston.
Yeah, Phantom says win versus the Texan. Stroud is still young and Spags will light him up. I just think so. I think this is a Chiefs win. They're at Arrowhead. And again, as you pointed out, could be this year's Lions game in primetime season opener. All right, the New Orleans Saints, 9-8, still have Derek Carr. They were 9-8 last year. I was thinking when I looked at the Saints, I thought about the old Raiders slogan of commitment to excellence. And when I apply that to the Saints, it's commitment to mid. Is what
I commitment to 500.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Are they the Jeff Fisher of NFL teams?
Yes. The same. You know what they are? Honest to God, they're the Chiefs under Carl Peterson. Like the last 10 years he was there.
Yeah.
Just always like never terrible, but just never any damn good. Like, by the way, word is from sources, Derek Carr is petitioning the NFL to have this game played the first half of the season, because if he's got to play in cold weather, he's potentially going like 16-40 in this game. Derek Carr is brutal when the weather's cold. So yeah. He's really hoping this is like week 3. I think this is one of these games too. Like, what is the case that the Saints are going to win this football game? Like, what? What is it? I mean, I respect certain individual players. Like, they actually have some guys on defense. You know, they've got Lattimore, Tyrann Mathieu. They've got, of course, Colin Saunders. They have Cameron Jordan, who's aging but still great. DeMario Davis. It's Dennis Allen against Andy Reid. Like, what are we doing here? I mean, it's Derek Carr against Mahomes, and that offense is pretty much like Chris Olave and nobody. I just don't see it, man. That's one of those games. Like, I could see it being one of those deals where like the Chiefs are just kind of like asleep at the wheel for three quarters, and then it's like, all right, we'll win now. If that game was in the Superdome, I might feel differently just because it's a really tough place to play. Yeah. Having that game in Kansas City, I think, is the way I look at it and go, yeah, I don't see Chiefs losing that game.
Yeah, as it stands right now, I think the Chiefs win this one by double digits. I think they're in a whole other class than New Orleans is going to be this year. All right, and then the last home game, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, also 9-8 last year, brought in Baker Mayfield, who played well and surprised. I talked to our guy, Josh Hill, and asked him why the Chiefs should be concerned about the Bucs, or should they be concerned. He says the defense is getting better. Tampa added Jordan Whitehead, who is one of the key players in helping them beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Yep. Added Randy Gregory as depth. They've got young guys with another year under their belt. And then he said that Liam Cohen might be a sneaky good offensive coordinator. So what is your opinion here? They played a lot of close games last year. Didn't really get blown out by anybody, Hill said. And then he thinks they've got a chip on their shoulder coming into this season. Do you buy it? Are you scared of the Bucs?
Okay, I'm not scared of the Bucs. And also tell Hill, for the love of God, don't, if your reasoning for maybe being Kansas City is Randy Gregory, just stop it. That being said, every year the Chiefs lose one dumbass game. It's every year. There's some game you're like, how the hell did they lose that game? I will pick this as that game. This screams like noon kick, late October. The Bucs are 4-4 and they've got to have it. And the Chiefs are like 7-1. And Baker's coming in feeling dangerous. And, you know, Evans and Godwin. And the Chiefs are just like, whatever. And, you know, they lose like 24-20 or something. Like, they should kill Tampa. Don't get me wrong. And maybe because of that Super Bowl, Mahomes just does everything possible to beat him. I don't know. I feel like he got that revenge a couple of years ago when they went to Tampa and they played Brady and just lit him up. But yeah, I'll say, look, this is that one. I always believe, like, when you predict a good team's schedule, whatever you think their record's going to be, make it one game worse, because there's always some game they're just going to, they're going to blow, because either they're a little beat up or they don't care. This is that game for me. Yeah. This is the game where you're like, what? Like, this will be the one that after the game, like, we're doing a post-game show, people are furious. This will be that game.
It could be the Travis Kelce fumble game. He fumbles once a year.
And yeah, like, yeah, just some non, like, they take like 15 penalties, like just some crap. They're finally going to lose.
You might be right. I think they win this one. I think they get the job done. But unless it's the Travis Kelce fumble game and they're up four and they're on the Bucs 25-yard line and Kelce fumbles on the 15, and right, then, you know, Baker leads the game-winning drive and we're all just murderous after the game. All right, let's go on the road. We already did the division, so just a few more to go here. The Atlanta Falcons, much to the delight of the fantasy football community, got rid of Arthur Smith, who's a fantasy, I know you're not a big fantasy guy, but fantasy football community, not a big Arthur Smith fan. Finished 7-10 last year. This is an interesting one because they have some good young players, a pretty decent defense. Are you worried about them, though, if you're the Chiefs?
No. Look, I would put it this way. I think you have to respect them. But I feel like the names at this point are like better than the actual players. Calais Campbell's 1,000 years old, and he played well for them last year. And, you know, does he come back? And if he does, how does he play? I do think their offensive line is pretty good with McGarry and Lindstrom. Like Kyle Pitts, everybody talks about Kyle Pitts like he's Tony Gonzalez. Can Kyle Pitts be good this year? Like, I mean, at some point, like, produce. I don't know. I think Drake London's really good. I don't care that they have Darnell Mooney and Bijan Robinson's a good player. Like, I think they're good. I also think that game's going to be a home game for the Chiefs. I have about 60,000 Chiefs fans are going to be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I think Kansas City wins this game. I just think they go in. I think it's kind of like the Minnesota game last year, where you go in there and like you respect them, but it's kind of just like, yeah, they're good, they're fine, but like, Chiefs will win the game.
I'm going to pick this as my random game that they lose, that they shouldn't.
Fair enough.
You know, those offensive skill players, maybe somebody, Bijan Robinson could get going on them. Ends up being kind of an ugly game. They've got enough offensive firepower to score. All right. Next up, our old pals, the Buffalo Bills, 11-6 last year. Stephon Diggs was working out so poorly. They just traded him to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Is this the same Bills team that the Chiefs have been losing to in the regular season for the last few years, or the Chiefs going on the road to Buffalo and put them down?
This feels like the kind of a game where the Chiefs go up there and, kind of like I said about Houston, like, send the message. I just feel like they've lost this team in the regular season. They beat them whenever it's counted. I think this is one of these games where the Chiefs are like, we're not letting Allen run, and we don't care about anything else. Nothing else matters. They don't have a receiver who scares you. Like, I respect Kincaid, but it's not like he's going to go for 200 yards. Like, I think this is the kind of game the Chiefs just lay it on them. I look at him defensively, and it's like, who scares you defensively? Like, Milano's a terrific player. He's an off-ball linebacker. He's excellent. Who else scares you? Who else in that defense? You're like, that guy's a great player. Kind of maybe Ed Oliver, but, like, not really. I don't know. You know, Rousseau, I thought, was going to be that guy, but he never really developed past just being, like, good. Their secondary is what exactly? Like, Christian Benford and Teron Johnson. Teron Johnson's a very good nickel corner, but, like, you can just get outside and he's not going to follow you. I think the Chiefs are going to light them up. I really do. And, you know, if they kept some of those other guys like Diggs and Morris, maybe one of the defenders, like, okay, I think the Chiefs just will spread them out and light them up. I think the Chiefs win this year against Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Chiefs take this one, especially if the game is early in the year. I think Buffalo, I know a lot of people think this is it. The Bills are done. They're toast. I don't think that's the case. I think Josh Allen's a good quarterback. I think he'll answer the call and help them win, and I think they'll make the playoffs. But I think early in the season, he's going to have to adjust. And, like you said, I'm a big Curtis Samuel guy. I'm not scared of, you know.
No.
I'm just not.
Neither Steve Spagnuolo.
Yeah. And it's just going to take some time. So I think particularly if the Chiefs play them earlier in the year before Josh Allen's got a chance to settle in and they figure out how they can win with the personnel that they have, it could be an ugly start to the season for them.
And by the way, I'm with you. I think the Bills are going to win the division. I do. But I think the Chiefs just match up very well with them. I think the Chiefs are going to take them to the cleaners in the regular season this year.
All right, here's one we probably don't need to spend a ton of time talking about. The 2-15 Carolina Panthers. Interesting young quarterback there, but did not perform in his draft stock last year. Do you think it improves next year?
They're good. That might, honest to God, be a 20-point line. I don't think it's going to improve. Bryce Young was awful. His draft stock, he played like he was undrafted.
Yeah.
That is one of those. That might be like the Bears game this year, where it's like 31-0 at halftime, and you're just, oh my God. No, that's a stats game. That's where guys are fighting over other. Like, I'll play. I'll get in there. Like, just any opportunity, right? I think that's a complete killing. Like, literally, I think if the line was 20, I might still take the Chiefs to cover it.
Get your incentives Sunday for the Chiefs. That's a yes. You can lock that one in. All right, and then another interesting one here, the Cleveland Browns, 11-6 last year. Joe Flacco comes in, really good defense. They've got some players on offense. They've continued to add to that team. Big question mark, of course, continues to be Deshaun Watson. How do you see this one playing out on the road in Cleveland?
Yeah, Deshaun Watson stinks, so the Chiefs won. he's terrible. He's not good. And Cleveland was weird last year, if you look at him. Because their splits were very good at home defensively. They were off on the road. And this game's at home. But they also were just not good against good quarterbacks. If you look at their numbers against Stroud and Stafford, and, you know, when Burrow, now I was saying, because when he played him, he was hurt. It was week one. He was hurt. He was beat up. Lamar lit him up. Like, I think the Chiefs will beat them. I don't think Watson's any good. I think Spagnuolo will absolutely destroy him. Kelce, you know, is going to be amped to the hilt for that game because it's Cleveland. Yeah, I think the Chiefs will win that game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Chiefs take it. I just think the Browns defense might hold the Chiefs for a little while, but I don't think Cleveland's going to be able to score. I just don't. So Chiefs win. All right, and the Steelers, who have interesting quarterback, dangerous, and they've got Justin Fields. Depending on when the Chiefs play the Steelers. One of those guys is probably going to be starting a quarterback. If it's early in the season, it's probably going to be Russ. If it's later in the season, wouldn't be surprised if it's Justin Fields. What do you think about this one on the road in Pittsburgh? 10-7 last year. Mike Tomlin just figures out ways to win no matter what.
I feel like this is the exact same game as Cleveland. The quarterback stinks. The rest of the team's fine. I think the Chiefs won this game. Russell Wilson is awful. Justin Fields is terrible. And honestly, the offensive line is questions. And outside of Pickens, like Deontay Johnson's not there anymore. So it's kind of like, okay, well, if you take Pickens away, then what? I like the Chiefs to win this game. I think this is one of those games where it's like 24-16, you know, something like that, 24-19, something in that range.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a primetime game. Steelers have a huge fan base. You know, the Chiefs have so many marquee games on their schedule. I always think it's going to be those ones that end up in primetime. But every once in a while, you get the one that you're kind of like, it's a head scratcher, but it's a popular team. All right, last one. Super Bowl rematch. Second straight year the Chiefs have had this on their schedule. They lost it last year to Philadelphia, but who cares? They won the two games that mattered, the Super Bowl last year and the game against Philly the year before. So 49ers, 12-5 last year, another year of Brock Purdy, revenge game, all that stuff. The Chiefs have to go to San Francisco. How do you see it playing out?
I'll pick the Niners here. I just think it means a lot more to the Niners. Like, this is just one of those games where I think the Niners are going to be absolutely just riled up to know it. And it's at home and everything else. Like, now, I will say this. The Chiefs beat them every time they play them. Every time they play the 49ers, they beat them. But, you know, listen. If you count up all my picks, I have them 14-3. Like, I think they're going to be very, very good this year. Yeah, you want to say 13-4, that's fine. Like maybe they'll lose a divisional game that I don't have them losing. But I think that's where they are, man. And they're like a 13-14-1 team. I actually don't think the schedule's that tough. I really don't. The NFC South is terrible. I think they're 3-1, maybe 4-0 in it. The AFC West is awful. Like I think they're 6-0 or 5-1. Like even if you take the worst case scenario there, you're 8-2. And then it's like, all right, you get the AFC North was just tough, but the two best teams are at home. You can play them at home.
Yeah.
The Bills, to me, I respect, but I think the Chiefs should win that game at this point. And I'm picking the Niners because they're at home. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Chiefs won that game. I think the Chiefs' schedule, honestly, is very favorable. Even the NFC South games, like, you could argue the Bucs are the best team in the division. Get them at home. Yeah. Get them at home. And you get the Saints, who I don't think are as good as Atlanta, but, like, oddly, I'd rather play Atlanta on the road than New Orleans because I feel like the home field is so much tougher with New Orleans. I think the Chiefs are a 13-14-1 team, man.
I'm with you. I think they're going to win a lot of games. And give me this one over San Francisco, too. I didn't tally up how many losses I have of them, maybe three like you. It just feels like this is going to be another. It's like every other year, the 49ers are decimated with injuries. I'm not wishing injury on everybody, but we're making crazy predictions right now. So this just feels like a season where Christian McCaffrey gets hurt again. You know, other guys are banged up and the Chiefs go in and I actually think maybe win it pretty easily.
And so Ayuk also is on the team.
Yeah, right.
You know, so
right.
Ayuk there. Is it early in the year? If it is Hufanga there? Like, you know, he's coming off the ACL. Greenlaw, unfortunately, the freak injury in the Super Bowl. Like, is he there? You know, that's what is always hard. I mean, look, this is a fun exercise and we'll do this again as the schedule comes out. But like that to me, I'm a huge believer in the way the schedule lays out. When do you get some of these teams? You know, do you have a team that is like maybe you're the third road game in a three-game trip and they're exhausted? Or is it the other way? You know, I would always rather play better teams early because you're kind of fine. Everybody's fine themselves a little bit and catch me. When if I was playing the Chiefs, I want the Chiefs like September or October, right? Like, I don't want to see the Chiefs in December. You know, it's the same way I feel about other good teams. I'd rather play give me the Panthers, December 20th, right, when they're dead in the water. They're like, oh my God, please let us go home. Like, I would rather face, give me Denver week 15 when they're, 3-12 and they're awful. Like, I think how the schedule shakes, who do you see on a short week? Who do you see out of the bye? Like, all that stuff matters.
Yeah. Chiefs have had some bad luck on timing. With their schedule the last couple of years. So let's hope they catch a couple breaks this year with some longer rest times than normal because they had a little bit of a rough go of it last year.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. A little shorter show today. We're going to get out of here. Zverto MK. I think he's got a radio hit. Check out his work over at sportsillustrated.com, SI.com actually is the URL. And of course, check out the Matt Verderam show. You can get that information. It is pinned to the top of his Twitter. Matt, thanks for joining me, man.
It's on Patreon. Because I know some people aren't on Twitter. It's on Patreon. You can check it out. I interviewed this show that'll be up tomorrow morning. The first half of it is an interview with a current star Chiefs player. So if you'd like to watch it, all you have to do is be a member of the $5 tier. You can go to patreon.com/Matt Verderam. Check that out. And I have two shows at least every week, sometimes three. So you can find me here. You can find me there. I can annoy you in multiple places. It's great.
Yeah, I know who you've got on the show. And I talked to him at the Super Bowl. Really enjoyed the brief conversation that we were able to have. So definitely check it out. I know it's going to be a great interview. All right, everybody. Thank you so much to all of our members. If you want to become a member of the Arrowhead Addict Podcast, check out the link in the description. We're about to fire up the Fantasy Football League and all that good stuff. As we once the draft is over, it's time to start your fantasy planning. Shout out to producer Richard for getting us up and running. Matt Verderam, Patrick Allen. We'll see you guys next time. But until then, as always, go Chiefs.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.